Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Ezra Capel. Dr. Capel is a director of the Jewish Studies program here on campus, and no stranger to KTEP, a good friend of the station and a good friend of mine. And we're here to talk with Ezra about, an event that is in charge of, and this is an event that happened in Florida a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to talk about that, but also something very exciting coming to UTEP next week, and we're going to talk about that as well. Dr. Capel, thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me again, Louis.
Now, Ezra, I mentioned the fact that you are in charge of this program, that you all had a conference a couple of weeks ago in Florida. Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, I'm one of the organizers of the major conference in my field, which is Jewish American and Holocaust Literature. And the name of the organization is JALIT, and it's part of the American Literature Association. And we've had an annual conference for the past 21 years. And I've been running it for about the last 6 years or so with a colleague of mine who's out in California. And it's grown every year. We do it now down in South Florida at a hotel down there. And we've had 45 scholars coming now from around the world. We had visitors from Japan and France, Poland, and all across Europe, actually, Canada, and mostly the U.S., and Latin America. We had a number of great scholars from there as well this year and panels on Jewish Latin American literature. And it's just grown tremendously. And the idea of the conference is to give a place for different scholars from around the world to really come and discuss their research and have sounding boards with other experts in the field and really help develop publications that come out of that. And so we've been very successful in doing that. And we had a book display here with a number of our students at UTEP. In fact, two students just won a major scholarship here. It's called the Aaron Wechter Memorial Scholarship. And those two students, Gus Cohn and Evan Stapleton, both came and developed a book display from all of the publications from the past couple of years that have come out of our annual JALIT conference.
And this conference, in addition to being a big feather in your cap and UTEP's as well, you had also some presenters from UTEP.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, both of those students presented excellent work. One student, Evan Stapleton, spoke about the New York summer class that I do, the educational travel course, and she talked about a novel by Philip Roth called Sabbath's Theater and discussed that in relation to the 9/11 museum that is downtown. And the other UTEP student who spoke was Gus Cohn, and he spoke actually about a great Jewish theologian, Moses Mendelssohn, and his influence on Herman Melville and his creation of the epic poem Chlorel. And we also had a number of UTEP faculty members who came and spoke. Michael Topp, an associate dean of the college, was talking about a memoir he's working on about his father and discovering his own Jewish roots that he didn't know about growing up. And Sasha Pimentel, a wonderful poet that we have here, was writing about one of her mentors, whom we just lost, a wonderful Jewish-American poet, Philip Levine, who had been here at UTEP just a couple of years ago. And I never saw such a huge event. It was over 1,100 people came to hear Philip Levine read. And so she spoke very movingly about him and his work. So, and I spoke on actually a new topic called Off the Derech, OTD Memoirs, which deals with formerly Orthodox or Hasidic people who write memoirs about their getting out of that world and becoming more secular people and the difficulties with starting new lives as adults after being cloistered away in these very ultra-Orthodox communities. So it's a really topic that really interests me as I'm working on my own memoir, not quite an OTD memoir, but having been raised in an Orthodox tradition, I certainly understand some of the issues issues that these folks were confronted with. And some of them managed to, you know, I've managed to combine, you know, my upbringing with my work, and I don't see it as a conflict. But again, I was not raised in a ultra-Orthodox enclave, you know, an hour from New York, which bans media and TV and all of those things. I was raised in a far more modern Orthodox setting. So it's a really interesting topic and one which actually touches upon Gary Steingart's work himself, although from when he first came to America.
And as I mentioned before, Ezra is been responsible for bringing a lot of great programs here at UTEP, and Dr. Antalicio has mentioned in the past about the great nuggets that we have here on the UTEP campus. Being miners, we have struck gold many times, and one of those gold nuggets is my friend here, Ezra Capel, and he is responsible for securing a lot of grants, a lot of big grants that help us bring some great programs to El Paso, and one of those is happening next week.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Louis. And yes, we're having one of America's leading writers and cultural figures, actually. His name is Gary Steingart, and he's going to be here next week on December 3rd at 7 p.m. He's going to be speaking. That's a Thursday evening at the UGLC in room 116. He's going to be reading from some of his work, and we're going to be having a discussion with him and an interactive conversation, which it always is with the Gary Steingart event, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Gary is the author of 3 New York Times best-selling novels, and now his fourth book came out recently, which is also a New York Times best-selling memoir. So it's going to be an incredible opportunity for us to come on out and meet this amazing figure, Gary Steingart.
And Norma Martinez, one of our producers here, and I know how hard it is to crack that New York Times best-selling list. And Gary has done it, as you mentioned, 3 times already.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, his last 3 books, in fact, were reviewed on the very front page of the New York Times Book Review. Another thing that – well, and he's an incredible writer. He was named by The New Yorker as one of the 30 under 40 most important writers in America, and that was a number of years ago. And he certainly lived up to that billing. If you go down that list, many of those writers have been very productive and done great work. Others not so much, but they were certainly correct about Gary Steingart. And his work is just not just best-selling, but it's actually – incredibly highly literary, and that's what has amazed me, because usually literary writers don't climb the bestseller list, right? But Gary Steingart manages to combine a kind of writing that is immensely popular, but that is also deeply personal and deeply literary as well.
And his memoir, which again is already on the New York Times bestselling list, is titled Little Failure. And some people wonder, why would you call something like that? But, I mean, I heard the story from you, and if you wouldn't mind sharing that with our audience.
Sure. So Gary Steingart spent the first 7 years of his life in St. Petersburg, and his parents came over with him. They were refuseniks, essentially, and came over finally when he was 7 and made it to America. And they had very high hopes for life in America as opposed to the life in Russia that they were leading. And the first chapters of the novel really detail so much of the Soviet propaganda, right? This young boy, Gary, grows up really imbibing all of the lies of the last years of the Soviet Union, and believes everything to be wonderful and perfect, and that America is the enemy and America is terrible. And they're like and so when his family finally tells him just right before they're leaving that we're going to the United States, and they're giddily happy about this, he doesn't quite know what to make of this, because he's been fed all of these lies. And so he's kind of shocked, and it takes him quite a while to understand after he comes to America that everything basically that he was brought up on was a lie. And so they have these very high hopes for him and expect him to come and earn a living and do something highly successful, like, you know, be a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer, something useful like that. And instead, of course, young Gary is is drawn to the literary arts and wants to become a writer. And so his family are deeply disappointed in that. You know, he went to Stuyvesant High School. He went to Oberlin College, and they expected him to become a success, which meant a material success and moving ahead quickly in this new world. And instead, you know, it takes a while even for a brilliant writer like Ari Steingart to be successful. And so it took him quite a while to get going. There's a great quote at the beginning of the novel in which he talks about this and about – you can understand some of his parents' aspirations in this here. He says, "Unbeknownst to me, the Soviet Union is falling apart." So this is when he's seven, right before they leave. He says, "The grain harvests have been terrible. There's hardly enough grain to feed the masses or keep them fully drunk. Meanwhile, in the United States, a grassroots movement to free Soviet Jews from their polyester captivity has gained momentum. And so the American president, Jimmy Carter, has reached a deal with the Russians. In exchange for tons of grain and some high technology, presumably television sets that won't explode with such regularity, the USSR will allow many of its Jews to leave. Russia gets the grain it needs to run. America gets the Jews it needs to run. All in all, an excellent trade deal." And you see in that, Louis, of course, the tremendous humor that Gary brings to everything, right? Here he is summarizing some really important, you know, movements in the American Jewish community and in American Soviet relations. And he does it with typical humor and a very, very light, deft touch.
And he also, as you were sharing with some of the crew here behind the scenes before we started, the fact that this man, his I guess some people would say that he's funny looking, and he's taking advantage of that and playing on it because, you know, it's not that he's funny looking. It's just that, you know, he's not what American magazines or world magazines would want to put as a supermodel or a glamour guy. But, I mean, he looks like a writer. He looks like an ordinary person. But he's using that as a launch pad.
He has. And that itself has been somewhat controversial. I was speaking to another Russian writer, actually, at the conference we were just discussing, who, you know, was taking a very different view of that level of success, right? Because, you know, in some ways it's a persona, right, that's very easily bought and sold, you know, and manipulated in different ways. And he's playing up on that, right? You know, there's this old stereotype of, you know, the Woody Allen stereotypes, and he's sort of taking it in taking it even further in many ways. But I think he plays with it and makes fun of it and is very sort of postmodernly self-conscious about it in his work, and it really all works for him. So, you know, he's taken what he has, which is what all artists do, right? Take the materials, the cards you've been dealt, and transform them into art somehow.
This we've been talking about Gary, and people are going to have the opportunity to hear him speak, and also, you know, have access to his books. Of course, people say, "Well, you know, I have access to his books by going to Amazon," but there's a difference between getting them on Amazon and actually hearing the author speak here in person. And he's going to be here, you know, again, thanks to you, Ezra, and some other fine people. But we have a couple minutes left in the program, if you wouldn't mind sharing some more of his work and then telling us about the event itself.
Oh, absolutely. So this is, I'll read just a short section from his last novel, which is called Super Sad True Love Story. And all of these – his books have been optioned to be made into films. In fact, there's discussions now of making his memoir as well as his last novel into a television miniseries. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about that at his event. But what really gets me is the high literary quality and the brilliance of his writing. And I'd like to give a little sense of that here, because what he does is combine a real awareness of everything that's happening in popular culture today. In fact, you know, he is sort of a cultural figure, a popular cultural figure as well as a writer, and has cameos in movies. You'll often see him, you know, doing, "Oh, look, there goes Gary Steingart in the background of a scene," you know. It's kind of funny to see that, but because most writers don't really pick up on that. But I think Gary was very early early on in his career was aware of the great promise of social media to help develop his career, but also very much aware of the pitfalls of social media and mass communications. And so his novel Super Saiyan True Love Story is in many ways about the death of books, right? Oddly, this great best-selling book about the death of reading. And so I'll just read a little bit from this, in which he talks towards the beginning of the novel about his main character, Lenny Abramov, who actually loves books. He's like the last person. He sees himself as the last lover of books. And this novel takes place in the future. And he writes, "I celebrated my wall of books. I counted the volumes on my 20-foot-long modernist bookshelf to make sure none had been misplaced or used as kindling by my subtenants. You're my sacred ones, I told the books. No one but me still cares about you, but I'm going to keep you with me forever, and one day I'll make you important again." And instead of books, you have people who are in love with their apparats, it's called, which is like a like an iPhone 9 or something, right? Like something in the future that really combines all of these social media things and immediately kicks out information about everyone you meet. You scan people in a room and it gives you all the information you need to know about them, which of course is not about their intelligence or their ideas. It's about their net worth. It's about their looks and that sort of thing. Very shallow ideas. And he says, you know, he misses the idea of language. And what we have now is just data, he says, you know. And looking around him, he's horrified. He says, you know, this character says, you know, looking at these children on the street, he says, how long would it be before these kids retreated into the dense clickety-clack apparat world of their absorbed mothers and missing fathers? So, I mean, it's a very powerful meditation on the pitfalls of technology and what is lost when we go away from books, you know. And having been steeped in the Russian literary tradition, he knows the power of literature to transform lives.
So tell us a little bit more about the event and what people need to know, Ezra.
So this event is made possible, actually, by a grant from the Jewish Federation of Greater El Paso, as are so many of our wonderful events that we do here in El Paso. And it's also the result of a number of programs here at the university, the Liberal Arts Honors Program and the Liberal Arts Dean and the Graduate School Dean have all helped support this event, as well as a number of other foundations and families here, such as the Rubin family, the Stanley and Gerald Rubin family, and Mrs. Felicia Rubin. And as I mentioned earlier, the Aaron Wechter Memorial Scholarship helps support student scholarship here on campus, but also helps support many of these wonderful events that we have here throughout our community, that and the Shylock Family Foundation. All of those great folks here in the community and programs here at UTEP and, of course, the Jewish Federation have come together to enable us to bring a wonderful evening of Gary Steingarten. So he's going to read from his work and we'll have a conversation with him about some of these issues, about popular culture, about the future of literature, about how these two things can coexist, right? Great writing. And that's really what his work stands for, right? Despite the pitfalls of technology, he's managed to use that and use it in a way to tell incredibly important stories about cultural dislocation, about different religions and how people could learn to live together. I mean, there are so many different themes. His book, his previous novel to Super Sad was called Absurdistan, which took a really hard look at the petroleum industry, at the wars that we're fighting around the world. His work has been described as satirical, but, you know, satires are always looking for that which is truly important in our culture and our society. And Gary Steingarten certainly stands up as one of the most important satirists of our age.
Well, Ezra, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today and giving us a heads up about next week, which is going to be on December 3rd. That is a Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
And that's going to be at 7 p.m. Undergraduate Learning Center, room 116 here on the UTEP campus. And again, it's going to be an evening with Gary Steingarten, and that will be, again, December 3rd at 7 p.m. We've been visiting with Dr. Ezra Capel. He is the director of the Jewish Studies program here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.